Hey, this is First Adam and Eve, chapter 56, verses 7 or 5 through 7. And here he says, "O Adam," now this is God speaking to Adam, and he's saying to Adam, "Why don't you ask Satan who deceived you?" He says, "O Adam, ask him who deceived you to give you a divine nature, or he promised you, or to make you a garden as I have made for you, or to fill you with that same bright nature with which I had filled you. Ask him," that's ask Satan, "ask him to make you a body that like the one I made you, or to give you a day of rest as I gave you, or to create within you a reasonable soul as I did create for you, or to remove you hence to some other earth than this one which I gave you." And that's kind of interesting that God brought this to Adam's attention about another earth. And of course, the Adamites are trying to explore. This has to do with drive the God code. They're trying to explore and find another world, another earth, to get to. Okay, so it's interesting that this was brought to Adam's attention about 6,000 years ago, and that's still ringing in his brain. All right, then this one which I gave you, but you, O Adam, will not fulfill even one of these things he told you. That's kind of interesting, too. Acknowledge in my favor towards you and my mercy on you, my creature. So it's interesting that our Lord was making known to Adam these particular propensities which he set and inscribed within the signature of man, that these things would be ringing within his own nature for the next 6,000 years, 7,000 years in the future. And that Satan, aware of these things that were designed within the nature of man, he would draw upon these things. In fact, we'll be reading about that today, as you see there in the book of Revelation, the propensities of the signature. All right, let's read another one here. This is Satan's counsel to Adam. This is First Adam and Eve. If you want to make a note on this, so have your notepad ready, your highlighter, and your pen. I'm going to make a note on this. This is out of 1 Adam and Eve 57. We'll be reading 5 through 10. "Then Satan said unto Adam," now this is after God spoke to Adam. Now Satan is giving his advice. "Then Satan said unto Adam, think you that when I have spoken to one about anything, I shall ever bring it to him or fulfill my word? He says, not so." Now remember that these were things also which the Lord was listening to. And Jesus also reciprocated the negative to Satan when he was tempting him. When Satan said, "If you be the Son of God, fall down and worship before me." And of course, the Lord at that point says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. After all, I know that you will not fulfill one word." All right, well, here we go on. We'll go on here. "For I myself," this is Satan, "for I myself have never even thought of obtaining what I asked." Well, that was his problem right there, that Satan was extending himself and his petitions beyond that which are the Lord assigned to him. And we see the same thing today within the Adamite. "Therefore did I fall." That's what Satan said to Adam. "Therefore did I fall." Now he's making a truth known, but he's not speaking the truth. He's just making a truth known. "Therefore did I fall, and did I make you fall by that for which I myself fell. And with you also, whosoever accepts my counsel falls thereby." Now that'd be something to take a note on. "Whosoever accepts my counsel falls thereby." And we'll be reading more about that in Revelation chapter 18. "But now, O Adam, by reason of your fall, you are under my rule. I'm king over you." In other words, the king of dead fruit that lies in the ground. That's what he's really saying here. "Again," he said, "inasmuch as we do not know the day agreed upon you by your God, nor the hour in which you shall be delivered. For that reason, we will multiply war and murder upon you and your seed after you." Well, that's a promise that Satan has kept. And regarding sowing the discord within the signature, within the race, within the culture, and within traditions, right, to sow the discord. Okay, so, and that's why he says, "We will multiply war and murder upon you and your seed after you. This is our will and our good pleasure." Now, Satan is speaking and regarding being the God of this world, the principalities and powers of the air. He says, this is our pleasure. He takes pleasure in these things. I mean, he's looking for closure. for his signature. In order for sinners to find closure in her signature, they have to press harder with their aspiration in order to try to bring some kind of completion or closure to their imagination there. This is our will and our good pleasure, that we may not leave one of the sons of men to inherit our orders in heaven. And we know that Satan has failed, because we'll be reading also about that. He'll be cast out of heaven. For as for our abode, O Adam, it is in the burning fire. Okay, and we, the demons, and we will not cease our evil doing. No, not one day nor one hour. There's that word 1 hour, we'll talk about that. And I, O Adam, shall sow fire upon you when you come into the cave to dwell there. And that was Satan's promise to the Adamites, because he knows that that the Lord will judge the conscience of those that resist his grace. And that the conscience of sinners, okay, will be judged with torment. All right, let's read one more here. Let's read something out of Revelation here, just for a second. Unto the angel of the church here, and the angel of the church of Sardis. Now we're going to see 4,000 years later, after Satan was making his counsel known to Adam. Let's see what was happening here in the church. And this is out of Revelation chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church of Sardis. All right, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you live and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, okay, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Now I'm wondering who was the culprit that defiled their works here. In other words, redirected their priesthood. And he says here, the Spirit of the Lord says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore you should not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you should not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy to defile garments. Because there's two forms of garments, that which is the garments of righteousness, okay, and that which, of course, is the garments of corruption. If you have a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy, he says here in Sardis. He that overcomes, again, the challenge remains. Now, from 2,000 years after this was written by the chief elder John there in the book of Revelation, he that overcomes, the saints shall be clothed in white raiment. Now, what are we overcoming? Ourselves, Satan, and the world. He that overcomes, the saints shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. All right, which has to do with the consenters. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. When he confesses our name before the Father, before his angels, this is for the purpose of their communication and visitations. Their communication and visitations will be with reward, with gifts. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All right. Okay, having rung the bell here, let's get ready to start. We're in Thessalonians, First Thessalonians. We're picking up where we left off last week. And here he goes on. Now, this is 1 Thessalonians, so have your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians. Okay, and this is, Paul goes on here, and he says, to wait for a son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, the Apostle Paul, of course, was informing the Thessalonian saints the time frame and regarding that which is of the tribulation. Now, how did he know about that? Well, of course, he read about these things, heard about these things, and sat in lectures about these things from the chief elders, okay, particularly Chief Elder John, of course, Chief Elder Peter and James and Jude. They were sharing with the saints these particulars, which we read about in Revelation, we'll be getting there, for the churches. Okay, this began to set a pattern for their preaching. And by setting this pattern for their preaching, it was a warning for future generations, 2,000 years in the future. Now, remember, they wrote this 2,000 years ago, so 2,000 years in the future, which we're living now. Okay, we're living in another election or another week. Okay, that was it. Now, this was written the first eighth week, and as 2,000 years have passed, we're now living in the second eighth week, okay, which is still, this knowledge is still relevant for today. Okay, that we're not appointed to wrath, but of course, we're appointed to his mercy. By these tokens, which is also we brought out last week about the blessedness of Abraham. Hey, the blessedness of Abraham was put within a sign of a circumcision, hey, that which should be concealed from the carnal eye, but revealed by the visitations of the Lord, which has to do with the grace upon grace and wisdom upon wisdom, hey, knowledge upon knowledge and mercy upon mercy. These are things of the blessedness of Abraham, okay, which would crown the faith of the righteous. Okay, so it was concealed, but it revealed. It was revealed in his power, in the power of his stewardship, even as God spoke to Moses. Okay, and now we'll come up to chapter 2 here. Okay, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. So highlight the word vain there. Okay, as you have your notepad right next to you, notepad, your highlighter, and your pen, you can highlight that word, and it was not in vain. In other words, the things which we preached to you was not standing in rhythm or harmony with the aspiration of man, nor the boasting of the flesh. Okay, now it wasn't standing in the harmony of man or the boasting of flesh. But the knowledge which we preach is a contrary current of the signature. It's a contrary current of the signature, even as Jesus walked on water. The power of the anointing, the power of the anointing runs contrary to the current of nature. Okay, even as Samson, when the Spirit came upon him, that when the anointing was upon him, he ran contrary to that which is the expectation of the nature of man, supernatural. Okay, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Entrance unto you, I mean the beginning. The entrance has to do with this beginning of the gospel, which we preached. It was not that which is had its roots within the aspiration. All religions of the world have their gospel rooted within the religious aspiration. All religions have one source. Okay, that one source is the principalities and powers of the air. Satan's 13 princes that rule the conscience of sinners. It rules the conscience of sinners in tyranny, oppression. Okay, it directs the sinner into that which is the self-pleasure. Okay, the self-pleasure which is untethered from the throne of God. Okay, the false anointing. Okay, we would call that the false anointing of the imagination builds conclusions that oppose Christ. And we can see this within the conversation in First Adam and Eve. Okay, Satan's counsel was building conclusions that oppose Christ. He wasn't giving Adam knowledge for faith. Satan was merely setting out his complaints. Okay, his complaints. That's why he says, not so. Now, one thing that I have promised will be fulfilled in Adam. Okay, so we can see that Satan, his scheme, he has not changed. And that's why Jesus said that the thief comes not but for what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's going to steal your faith, to kill your confidence within God, and to destroy you, your soul, and your finally destroy your soul. Bringing your soul to ruin, to confusion, to double-mindedness. That is the counsel of the kingdom of darkness. Okay, against the kingdom of light, Satan is trying to prove God wrong in his forms of subtle revenge. His forms of subtle revenge lie within the powers which he uses, which is called envy and malice and emulation and variance, bitterness and hearsay. And murder, fornication, adultery. Okay, these are the powers which he uses in order to bring about this delusions, the vanity. So our gospel, he says here, for yourselves, brethren, there in Thessalonica, know our, so hide the word our there, which is talking about Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus in verse 1. See, our entrance unto you, this was the beginning. When the door, God opened this door to you, according to the revelation which I received, that's what Paul's saying, come over to Macedonia. And he saw in a vision. So the Apostle Paul, obedient to the vision which he has seen, and after the revelation which Chief Elder Peter had, Chief Elder Peter had the revelation first that the door of the Gentiles was going to be opened. And this was revealed in regarding the house of Cornelius, the Gentile convert. And those which were present with him, and six other brethren accompanied Peter, Chief Elder Peter, to Cornelius there. And then they were witnesses in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that what God promised, it has indeed come to pass. The door of the Gentiles is now open. See the word door there. Our entrance unto you. The door was now open for you to receive this knowledge to come into covenant with God, that there are consenters within the nations of the Gentiles. The consenters among the nations of the Gentiles, which God put there, was for this purpose of providing a testimony of his mercy and also to bring contrast about his compassion. And this, of course, Jesus brought out the same thing, that God makes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. When the sun comes up, it benefits the just and the unjust. Even the harvest benefits the just and the unjust. Did you know that God prospered the land of Canaan for the 200 years that Jacob was absent there? When Jacob went into Egypt to get corn and to visit his brethren there, when he heard that Joseph was yet alive, and that was a confirmation again through numerous dreams which were given, because Jacob, or known as Israel, was recording these things when his sons would come and would share things about Joseph. They had a dream. Okay, and Jacob says, by the revelations which we have received, okay, this is like a rolling revelation. We remember talked about a couple of weeks ago, a rolling revelation. Now, we see a rolling revelation in the book of Genesis. Okay, and that rolling revelation in the book of Genesis is gaining momentum as a tsunami. Okay, as we're in this time frame which we're living. Because Abraham at that point in time was a ripple of a drop of water in a pool, a ripple like a drop of water in a pool, like a pebble falling in a pool. Okay, the pool, okay, was had like a mirror face on it. Okay, it was still. You know, there's times when there's not even a wave on the ocean, but then suddenly as the day continues on, the waves continue to get bigger and bigger. Okay, so the rolling revelation was given to Abraham, which had to do is that, okay, that kings would come of your seed, but yet there was no kings of his seed at the time of the revelation. Okay, and there was things that were spoken by God to Abraham that weren't even fulfilled at that moment of time. What will be fulfilled in the coming future, which has to do with that your seed shall stand in the gates of the enemy, and that the nations will be blessed and benefited through the seed. Now we'll see that unfolded during the millennial reign, because we bear that testimony as children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. And the blessedness has to do with the powers and the gifts which our Father would bestow upon us for the purpose of our mobility during the millennial reign, that we're able to ascend and descend. Okay, in other words, materialize and dematerialize, traveling through the atmosphere, taking a tour among the planets, if you want to do that. Okay, we're ascending from one heaven to the next heaven. Okay, and able to fly with the eagles or swim with the dolphins. Okay, you're able to transform from one point to another point. Okay, or transform in body, as our Lord also will show us. Now, the Lord was already showing us particular steps about this when Jesus appeared in another form. Okay, whereas those which were on the road of walking the road to Emmaus there, Simon Cleope there, or Cleopas there, did not recognize him. Well, they knew what Jesus looked like, but they didn't recognize him because he was in another form. Until the form which he was in began to be realized by the sign which he put upon the blessing. And then he just vanished before their eyes. Okay, that's just an example of that. Okay, so our gospel, he says here, the blessedness of Abraham, the rolling revelations. Okay, which we're right now, okay, we are surfing on the revelation right now. We're surfing on it. Because that which is at the pebble and the ripple, okay, has increased in volume now that we're in the last days, end times. As our Father is preparing us for this transition, we all will be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the last blast of the trumpet. That's the trumpet of the blessing. Okay, not the trumpet of judgment, it's the trumpet of blessing. Okay, and of course, the false religious system gets confused about that. When they see the word at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, okay, they think that's just in regards of the trumpet judgments. It's not. It has nothing to do with it, the trumpet of God's wrath, but the trumpet of his mercy. Now you see the same thing in the book of Numbers and also Leviticus and Exodus. Concerning when you hear the sound of the trumpet, you assemble in this point. When it's two blasts, and you prepare for war, because there's the trumpet blast identifies different procedures and different forms of preparation. So when the trumpet sounds, okay, which has to do with the trumpet of blessing, we all be transformed. We're actually being transformed presently now in your heart. If you're not transformed in your heart, how will you be transformed in the flesh? It begins in the spirit and fulfilled in the flesh. Okay, we see the same thing concerning Adam. That which was first the flesh was then the spirit inhabited that which is his form. The spirit, when God breathed within the nostrils of Adam, it was like pouring water into a cup. Okay? And so pouring water into a cup, we can see that the multiplication process of that and the returning of it. Okay, the returning of it in Eve. Eve was given to him. That was a gift. Eve was given to him as a gift in order to assist him and be a help meet for him. And also to multiply his house, to build his kingdom. That's what our Father is doing in our hearts right now. Our hearts are being filled with his gifts to be returned to him in its fullness. Our soul is the womb of the Spirit, preparing and developing this power for the purpose of the transformation, not only of our bodies at the rapture, but also the powers that will be attending upon our will in the baptism of light. Okay, it's propensities there are far, very far in its manifestation. Okay, it begins now. So that's like a rolling revelation. So here we go back to verse 1. We're in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 here. It was not in vain. Okay, in other words, it was not in rhythm with the aspiration of man, nor for the boasting of the flesh. Okay, but in Revelation chapter 18, we're going there right now, if you want to make a note on that. Okay, we're going to see how the false anointing is a seducing spirit. The seducing spirit uses the mindset and behavior of its victims, the signature of man. It uses the mindset and the nature of its own victims, the character of its own victims, against itself. Against itself, like a dog chasing his own tail. Okay, so let's jump over there to Revelation chapter 18. Let me just get some more insight here in regarding transformation and what not to do. So in Revelation chapter 18, we're starting around verse 9. Now the kings of the earth who have committed fornication live deliciously with her, which shall bewail her, okay, and lament for her, because they're losing all their investments. They're losing all their investments for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Okay, now what's interesting here about the smoke of her burning, like Sodom and Gomorrah, the impact of it will happen suddenly within that short time frame. Okay, but the smoldering of it will exist over a long period of time. It will exist long enough to where container ships coming into the ports there will not be able to get near the ports at Babylon there. Okay, as they see the smoldering, okay, the city, the whole city just smoldering there and sinking. Okay, sinking within the like in a sinkhole. Okay, which a lot of cities at the time of God's judgment will be sinking in sinkholes. Okay, they won't be found anymore at all. Okay, not the boast of man, not the aspiration. And like what happened to Korah and Dathan and Abiram and that group, that rebellious group that stood against the stewardship of Moses, trying to usurp his stewardship by setting forth their own skill levels. They thought their own intellect and skill levels could speak enough for themselves to be the next leaders. In other words, they want to put everything to a vote, whether Moses was of a sound mind or not, or Aaron was really sufficient. Okay, so we can see here, as we go on, the judgments that's going to come to Babylon, and that this judgment, the spirit of this world, was going to be submitting to the beast. Before, it was like a bridle on the beast. She was riding on the back of the beast. Okay, which shows that she had like a bit or a halter in it, in order to direct it. And of course, the beast didn't like that. The beast went ahead free reign. And for the next 3.5 years, he wants to have that free reign. So the kings of the earth here, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, okay, which means that to add value to the aspiration, to become billion and millionaires, million, billion, and trillionaires. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail and lament her. Okay, the rip of death. And that's why they're going to lament, because they were molding, they're bonding. They were bonding with the aspiration. At the presence of death, when the soul is ripped from the body, okay, the tear has to do with the immediate abandonment of loss, and the soul weeps for its loss. Even the Lord wept. Even Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? He wept because the lack of faith. The soul which he created was experiencing that rip, the presence of death. Well, where was that? Well, that was in the conscience. This is what he was going to heal. By his stripes you were healed. Now, he was going to restore the state of purity in the conscience, which death was ruling over. And when a righteous man died, the rip of death within the conscience, okay, would leave that testimony of sin. So that's why the righteous were held in the lower parts of the earth until the Lord himself would come down here and take them by the hand to lead them out of the lower parts of the earth, okay, leading their souls to the lower parts of the earth. Now they're awaiting their bodies at the rapture. Okay, these are the ones which are awaiting their body. That's why when the great earthquake takes place during that great time of darkness, when the moon has turned of the blood red, like dripping blood, okay, there's going to be a shaking in the earth, great shaking. Now, see, that's the graves of the righteous that are opening to release its prisoners so that the souls, okay, which are awaiting them on the other side would receive their bodies. And when the souls receive their bodies, which we will be with them, because the dead which are in Christ arise first, and the we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay, when once we have the okay, that honored assembly, okay, that honored assembly of the saints and the righteous, that's when we're taken to the seventh heaven. We pass through the altar of fire, through the courts of the temple, into the throne of our Lord, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. And our fellowship, okay, will be based upon that union. Now here they're going to stand afar off for and bewail her and lament her. And he goes, that's the rip of death in their conscience. Their peace was in the aspiration. Our peace is in Christ. Because our peace is in Christ, our peace remains intact upon the departure of the body. Okay, but not for the sinner, because their peace is within the world, and that's going to be ripped from them. Because it's contaminated. The conscience is contaminated, not purified by faith in Jesus Christ. They don't have a priesthood that's been sanctified. Neither are they under the stewardship nor the guidance. Under the stewardship, that's the guidance of the eye of God. As the Spirit said, they shall not prosper before the eye of the Lord. The sinners will not prosper before the eye of the Lord simply because, okay, the stewardship is denied. They're blind to the stewardship. Okay. And that's why I call them old fools and blind. That's what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, old fools and blind. Okay. You don't see the stewardship. The eye of the Lord is in the stewardship. The eye of the Lord beholds the conscience. It sees the state of the conscience. And the Pharisees, of course, they were defiled and rebellious in their defilement. So let's go on here in verse 10. Standing afar off, remaining at a safe distance in ships, watching her sink beneath the waves there, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, sinners would reflect her soul and not the holy city above. Sinners reflect her soul, okay, and not the holy city which is from above. Okay, the mother of harlots, you say, is the false church, the false bride, the false lamb. Okay, because it's the false lamb. Okay, we see in Revelation here, okay, that I saw another beast rise up out of the earth, who had two horns as a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. So the imitation, okay, is in a false religious system. Satan counterfeits the things of God. Satan has counterfeited the apostles' office. We see that today. He has counterfeited the teachers. He's counterfeited the pastors. He's counterfeited the evangelism. He's counterfeited everything, okay, in regarding the church of God. And when we say counterfeit, which means it's not of the original fiber, it's not tethered to the throne. Satan's counterfeit being untethered from the throne only works derision and confusion, and it confounds those which believe within that system. That's why the Lord said, come out from among them. In fact, he says this in the same chapter here in verse 4. Come out from her, my people. Escape, even as Lot escaped from Sodom. And he's saying to them, escape as virgins from the house of Bel. Escape as virgins from the house of Bel. Don't embrace her doctrines. As the doctrines of Nicolaitans, or the doctrines of Balaam, or the teachings and the teachings of their of Jezebel. They come out from among them, which we read there in the first two or three chapters there in the book of Revelation. Standing afar off for fear of her torment, and not to get contaminated by her, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the false holy city, or the false bride. The great city Babylon, if that mighty city, for in 1 hour is your judgment come. So quickly is this act carried out in this manner. Now, he's not talking about Jerusalem, but he's talking about another location, where she sits in the seven hills. So in 1 hour, we're talking about 1 hour, not talking about as 60 minutes. But God puts, we can see that in this period of time, God puts enmity in the false prophet and the beast towards the harlot. She now, for a period of time, there controls the world's religions and favor. Now we see this taking place right now before our eyes, as there is construction taking place in Arabia, that this year, there's three large structures being made, which represents the three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The goal of this is to try to bring them all together into one coherent gospel, so that there would be peace, that now there would be no more friction, in regarding religion. They're trying to remove friction in economics. They're trying to remove friction in politics. They're trying to remove any kind of friction within religion. That's what they're working on in a global government. Now the beast is going to bring this about, but that's going to be the second 3.5 years. But it will be progressing within the first 3.5 years, mostly after the great judgments, after the asteroid hits, particularly. After the asteroid hits, the people of the earth, the nations of the earth, they will see the need to pull together in order to survive. And of course, a particular individual will arise, called the beast, which will issue forth certain documentations and constitutions that will remove certain political barriers that presently exist right now. And the economic barriers, wars on the borders of every place. But after the asteroid hits, of course, after Gog and Magog has been defeated, people are going to say, is there any nation in the world that's stronger than this man? Any armies of the world that could overflow the beast? This man. And so you can see how the Antichrist man is going to gain favor. Then finally, after all the accolades there of his achievements, of trying to bring about not just a one-world government, but also he's going to have to reassign nations and also reconstruct borders. Borders will be changed. Governments also will be changed, mostly after that asteroid hits. Whole islands would disappear. Islands would disappear. There's a tsunami, the waves of that tsunami there, when it hits, we'd be up to the mountaintops. And it will inundate coastal cities all along the Pacific Rim. So you can see the impact of it is going to push people to compromise, nations, national leaders, to compromise. We saw that in a movie called Independence Day, when all the nations of the world would put aside their petty issues and fight against these invading aliens, Martians. The Martians were making known that the idea of conquering this world was only for the purpose of harvesting proteins and minerals and completely empty it. They're going to strip mine the whole earth and then leave it bare like an asteroid. All right, well, let's go on here. We don't want to belabor that. The beast is going to force economic changes here at this point in time. Now, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn that they're going to realize the restrictions here, over her, over Babylon here, for no man buys her merchandise anymore. In other words, The mark of the beast will be enforced. The mark of the beast, which is 666, identifies the tree. Okay, himself identifies him. Okay, in other words, everything that's going to take place right here, okay, is going to be final. Okay, let's jump over here now to verse 12. In verse 12, we're going to read more about this. The merchandise. Okay, as we read about this merchandise, you can see what the signature of man. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul said in Thessalonians, the gospel which we preached unto you in our labor was not in vain. This is the vein over here. We did not resource in these things. Okay, but the eternal things, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay, the things that are tethered to the throne of God, those things which our Father sanctified through Jesus Christ, so that you, through Christ Jesus our Lord, okay, will be able to complete this cycle, to be returned to the Father's bosom. All right, so now these, the sinners, labored with the wrong tokens. Laboring with imagination, they despised God's government. Now we know they despise government, because when you read on right here, he says, rejoice, verse 20. Rejoice over her, you heaven, you holy apostles and prophets. Which shows that the apostles and prophets, okay, that their presence will continue up to this point of time, because it's reflected in the foundation of the holy city, chapters 21 and 22. Okay, so the presence of the calling is of necessity and is progressive. It's going to be there. Okay, nowhere in the Bible does it say there will be no more apostles. As there's described right there in the foundation of the holy city, which shows it's going to be referenced to. Now, the rolling revelations of Abraham, according to the Apostle Paul, says, for Abraham looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Hebrews chapter 11 there brings that out, whose builder and maker is God. Okay, so we can see that the calling itself is part of the foundation of building the church, and it was back in the first eighth week, and it's in the progress of today, okay, which is spoken against, okay, by those which are which have embraced a theology that is antichrist. Every antichrist theology will oppose the government. So these are the glitter people, merchandise. Now see the word merchandise, how the word merchandise there. These are the glitter people. The glitter people live with the temporal things for the aspiration, the imagination, and for the principle. These are the powers which Satan works with, and a seducing spirit builds and bonds by the temporal things. The seducing spirit builds and bonds with the temporal things, while we, okay, in the kingdom of God, build and bond with the eternal things. We build and bond with Christ by the eternal things, the gifts that never perish. Okay, nor never grow old, nor thief can break through, nor steal, nor can rust corrupt. Okay, now the merchandise. I had the word merchandise there and put the word glitter people. And now the glitter people in the Father's bosom, they fully heard the counsel of our Lord at that time, as we heard. We heard the full counsel of the Lord at that time. It was sealed within the conscience of every soul before it came into this dimension, okay, to be challenged and to unfold. Now the grace of God will unfold its mysteries. Okay, but in ignorance, it remains concealed. Though it remains concealed, it could be felt. Every Adamite feels it, its presence within the conscience, and they don't understand it. They try to isolate it through psychology, okay, but they don't understand, why is it here, and why do I feel this way? Why do I feel that I could be more than what I presently am, that I can achieve more, that I can go to the to the far ends of the earth and explore, okay, as concerning the spirit of the adventurer. Okay, we can see that throughout history, where the migration of people, populations migrated, okay, with that driving force for something better, more grassland, greater cattle, greater riches, okay, to conquer, to also to steal from a weaker people. Okay, we can see that throughout history. Okay, now merchandise of gold. Okay, these glitter people found that despising government wanted to build with the things that added value to the aspiration and their imagination and social status. Silver and precious stones, jewelry, gems, emeralds. Okay, and that are pearls and fine linen. The clothing industry, fashion industry. And also we see here, purple. not blue at this point, because he doesn't want to identify with the stewardship, so they didn't put that there. But here would be purple and silk and scarlet, which also has to do with religious attire. And we see that also down at the very bottom. Okay, we talk about slaves and souls of men. And purple and silk and scarlet, okay, and all fine wood, which has to do with furniture. Okay, the furniture, which, of course, those which are in the Save the Trees movement, like Greenpeace, okay, those which are trying to save the atmosphere there. We can see that at this point they're going to fail to save the trees, because here we can see that all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory, which has to do with the tusks of elephants, okay, will be abundant, okay, at this point in time. Okay, and all manner of ivory, vessels of ivory, tokens. Okay, tokens, the tusks, thousands of African elephants, of course, in India, there will die, okay, from this tribulation and plagues and heat. Okay, so all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of most precious wood, okay, varnishes and furniture, brass, iron and marble, which has to do with tools, parts, constructions, factories, construction workers, trophies, homes and appliances. All these things are put within that. A cinnamon, the food industry and spices and odors, perfumes and colognes and saffron, healthcare and beauty creams. And cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, novelties, religious vices, vineyards and pipelines, fuel pipelines, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, and fine flour, bakery ingredients, breads and bagels, wheat and beast, food, steaks, pork, venison, mutton, race horses and breeding farms. Okay, we see sheep and horses and chariots, vessels, low-income workers and theology schools. Okay, slaves and souls of men, her priests and theology schools. Because you know them by their fruits. You see what they're associating with here. The fruits, it says it right there. You know them by their fruits. And there it says it right there. The fruits that your soul lusted after. All the tokens you resource for the world's boasting. It caused a wandering lust in the God code for your peace and security. And that's what they're going to cry, peace and security. Remember, we talked about that. For the fruits that your soul lusted after are departed from you. Death tore them from your soul. Okay, and now you're left naked. Okay, left naked with a defiled conscience is not a good position to be in a day of judgment before the great white throne judgment. Are departed from you in all things which are dainty, that add to social etiquette and glitter, and goodly are departed from you, and you shall find them no more at all. All these false tokens that didn't provide any soul substance. Okay, whereas faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith provides, you say, the tokens and the patterns for which we follow, which causes growth. It causes substance in the heart. Okay, that was the things which pursuing after is being developed right within you. Okay, but not the glitter people. Okay, we're the grace people. The grace people, we follow after the invisible, where the glitter people follow after the visible things. The merchants, the CEOs, the billionaires, the tycoons, like J.P. Morgan, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Carnegie, okay, as an example. Merchants of these things, which are made rich by her, okay, they invested and increased the profits with their imagination and by their own laws, which were made rich by her now. So you can see there's a transition, an economic transition that would take place and unfold at a greater capacity, mostly after that comet hits. The comet hits, or the asteroid hits, it's going to really cause economic upheaval. Because you're talking about a third of the ships, container ships, naval ships, cruise ships, okay, pleasure boats. I mean, you're talking about all those in that particular area are going to be sucked right down, okay, and destroyed when that asteroid hits. With a 5-mile high tsunami, traveling at about 1,000 miles an hour, it's going to move fast. Okay, you're not going to be able to get out of the way. Okay, of that suction. The merchants of these things which are made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, as Babylon sinks in a smoldering smoke, weeping and wailing, that is, for the hope of their efforts is now gone. Death left the soul empty, and the conscience was now void of peace. You see what they're molding with? That's not what we're molding with. We're molding with the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophet. We're molding with the eternal things. Okay, so our gospel which we preach unto you was not in vain. That's what Paul is bringing out there in Thessalonians. And saying, alas, alas, that great city, verse 16, such hope at this point in time just vaporized. Now, when this takes place, The regions of the world will be cut up into 10 regions, and they'll be oversought by the fallen watchers. The fallen watchers. And the puppets, of course, would be Edomites. Just like it was in the days of Noah. And Jesus said that. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to exactly be like that. The angels will rule the earth, and there'll be tyrants, the Edomites. Edomites will be put into slavery. The only place where you could actually be safe would be joining the military. And we can see that in chapter 19. Now in chapter 19 of Revelation, those which join the military will stand against Christ when he comes back. Because there you receive all the tokens of your advancement. You have your security, financial security. You have your food rations, as well as also other benefits that come to your signing up to serve the beast. You're taking a pledge and a mark at the same time. But they will have their end. They'll be cast alive in the lake of fire. So alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, and scarlet. Here they're identifying a false priesthood in fine linen, purple, and scarlet. A city. Alas, that great city which clothed in fine linen, purple, and scarlet. A city. A city, what do they do? Lay a blanket of linen over the whole city. No, they didn't. See, it's identifying the false religious system, it's identifying the false stewardship, it's identifying the false priesthood, which she bears, which she preaches, which the beast also abhors. Because the beast, Satan, wants power. He wants power, and he's going to have absolute power during the second 3.5 years when he proclaims himself to be as God, when he goes into the temple and sits in the temple as his throne and claim at that point in time that I am Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to say at that point in time. But at the very end, at Armageddon, when they're having the great rally, the conferences and the rallies that be unfolding there, and the reward ceremony, at the peak of the reward ceremony, it's going to suddenly get real dark. And that's when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and we're with him at that point in time. And then at that point in time, Satan, the beast, is going to actually make a full disclosure of who he is. I am really Satan. And he says, and you have trusted in me. And they're going to take open allegiance to him. Why are they going to take open allegiance to him? They're going to bow the knee and says, why, you paid our rent. You paid our bills. You fed our families. You promoted us. You gave us positions of authority. And through you, we were made rich. We bow the knee to you. And of course, that's when Jesus comes back. That's why it's so severe. At that point, because they know who he is, and they pledge allegiance to him in full disclosure. But at first 3.5 years, it's going to be very difficult because he's going to speak and act like Jesus Christ. He's going to even walk on water. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to cleanse the lepers. He's going to do all the works that Jesus did. He's going to claim that those things which Peter, James, and John wrote about were only prophetic and not historic. See, we're reading the history of our Messiah was here, and the things which he prophesied are coming to pass. But the beast is going to claim that the things which are written were nothing more than prophetic of what he would do. You see how he's going to change the testimony. That's why he's going to blaspheme God, those in heaven and his tabernacle, because he's stealing everything to himself, just like his ministers do today. They steal the knowledge to themselves. Until they're from the throne, they steal the knowledge. Satan did it with Jesus, and Satan did it also with Eve. Eve in the garden, he stole it, and he was trying to steal it from Jesus. When he said, the Bible says, now Satan quoted scripture, so quoting scripture doesn't make the devil tremble in his boots. He quoted scripture. And he was stealing knowledge to promote his aspiration. He fought against the Anointed One. The Anointing and the Anointed One. He fought against it, and they do it today. They fight against the Anointing and the Anointed One through their selection of Scripture and private interpretation or personal interpretation. That means taking it to themselves, apart from that which the Anointing gives. 1 hour so great riches come to naught, he says here in verse 17. Not 60 minutes, but at that selected season of judgment in the seventh week, in that time frame, everything's going to turn to dust. Okay, because the judgment comes within that short period of time, but smoldering ashes continue on for a long time. Okay, for 1 hour so great, riches have come to naught, and every shipmaster, which means they recovered, by the way, from the loss a few years ago. Okay, when they lost it, over the third of the ships were destroyed, you see how quick. Okay, everything was restored back to normalcy. Every ship that was destroyed, okay, it was doubled back. And we see there in chapters Revelation 8 and 9, okay, that when the judgments, when the trumpet judgments are sounded, a third of the ships are destroyed. And a third of the wildlife or life that was in the sea, okay, was also killed. Okay, so we see also the sea life, the whales, save the whales, okay, all the save the whales, okay, is for naught. Okay, they needed to come in a covenant. You come in a covenant, you'll save the whale. But as long as you stand opposed to God, they're in danger. And we can see that's going to happen. Okay, 1 hour so great riches come to naught, and every shipmaster and the company and ships and ships and sailors there, whether it be commercial, naval, seamen, there, as many as trade by sea stood afar off. They were amazed as the Euphrates began to drain. Things began to take different form. Remember, the Euphrates river is going to dry up. Okay, and the demons that look like frogs there, green slime there, like Slimer looked there, and Ghostbusters, you know, Slimer and Ghostbusters. Okay, they look like that. Okay, very similar. Okay, and of course, an insatiable appetite for deception. But anyway, what happened here? They stood afar off, and they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, because they felt that rip of loss in their conscience. They saw the smoke there, saying, what city is like this great city? The false holy city, that is. Okay, how can it be replaced, which emerged so suddenly? It emerged as suddenly as it did, and of course it became a martyr nations and destroyed just as fast. Okay, the false holy city, the counterfeit tokens. They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all the headships in the sea, and by reason of her costliness, their investments, and 1 hour, connect the word 1 hour there, she is made desolate, as the beast warned, the warn of these coming trials. Okay, but here he says in verse 20, rejoice over her, you heaven. Okay, and that's us now, because we're there. Rejoice over you, you heaven, you holy apostles and prophets, which are there now. Okay, you which served, because it was this system that opposed you, and it was this system, see, that the ministers of unrighteousness resourced in order to promote their false gospel. It was their system. It was contaminated. It was not sanctified by God. Okay, what was sanctified one time becomes unsanctified another time. Okay, we can see the same thing about the usage of certain items there. The first covenant, okay, under Moses was not allowed, but under David it was allowed. Okay. Under the first covenant, certain things were not allowed, but under David, it was allowed. Okay, so there's a transition that which took place. Okay, and it went even further when the Messiah appeared, that those things which were allowed now were no longer allowed in another covenant. Okay, so let's read verse 20 and we'll hop back. Rejoice over her, you heaven, get your sacrifices ready. Rejoice over her, you heaven, you holy apostles and prophets. Okay, all those which are servants of the covenant. Because since the very beginning, the false religious system opposed the government of God. Okay, they opposed the government of God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious elite did not like the concept of fishermen, common fishermen, telling them what true theology is. Okay, they looked at the fishermen as Chief Elder Peter, John there, Peter, John, James, Andrew. Okay, they looked at them as, you're just common fishermen. Why don't you go back to your vocation there? Go back to Galilee. Okay, leave religion to us. Go back to Galilee. Okay, you are those who are just promoting your Jesus as the Messiah because you wanted something to believe in. Okay, but we can see that as time went on there at the very beginning, many of those which were in the priesthood did believe in Jesus Christ, but they also wanted to retain their culture. Okay, and of course, you can read that in the book of Acts. Okay, how they want to retain their culture there. And it became a flashpoint of conflict later on. We see in Galatians. Okay, so you can see the progression of that. And why the doctrine of Nicolaitans was hated by our Lord, because they were trying to integrate Moses and the Christ. They're trying to integrate the physical within the spiritual things. Okay, and of course, the Lord says, no, you can't do that. Now you're contaminating it, and it's lukewarm. So rejoice over her, you heaven, you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. He's removed the influence of this substitution. Substitutionism began with the false religious system. They substituted the tokens of the doctrine of Nicolaitans for those tokens of Christ. They replaced Jesus' baptism with their own water baptism. They replaced the communion of the Holy Ghost with the communion of bread and wine. They replaced the Sabbath of Jesus' rest with the Sabbath of Moses' rest. Okay, they replaced the circumcision of Jesus within the heart with the circumcision of to carry on that tradition of the physical circumcision. So he says, rejoice. Okay, God has removed this testimony. And we're going to see that God is doing that right now. In the second eighth week, as God is, you say, preparing the house of Eve, or Eva, as he's preparing the house of Eva. Okay, he's preparing the house of Eva here in opposition. Okay, there's one house against another house. As the house of David was against the house of Saul, the house of Eva is the house which stands against the house of Babylon and her multi-headed philosophical, say, dragons, which he has there. All right, let's go back now to Thessalonians and let's conclude there. Okay, so you can see when the Apostle Paul said about when we came to you that it was not in vain, our entrance into you was not in vain. The knowledge which he shared with you was the door, you can see the purification of the conscience, the door of your conscience was open. Okay, the knowledge which he gave to you didn't close the conscience towards God's light, but it opened the conscience to God's light. Okay, when you open the conscience to God's light, then the King of Glory comes in. Okay, as the scriptures bear that out about the King of Glory. Okay, let's go to verse 2 here. But even after that, we had suffered before, and of course you see that in the illustration here. In the illustration, you see the opposition of how the false religious system and the forms of government treated that which is of the true kingdom of God. And of course, that's why they're whipping them, okay, and putting them in prison. Okay, and then right next to that illustration, they have the Babylon burning. But you can see the progression of that rolling revelation which would take place. And again, we're surfing on, see, the crest of this rolling revelation, ready to be full disclosure. Okay, of the second eighth week, in opposition to that which the false holy city, okay, which is the mother of harlots, the false holy city, and her claims, or opposing that. Okay, so the Lord is providing us a platform, okay, whether it be in Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, okay, whatever application you're using there, okay, in order to make known, we're making these things known, okay, in order to draw their attention, that the Spirit would draw them. Okay, doesn't mean the Spirit at that point is going to convert them, but the Spirit would draw them. That's what happened in the days of John the Baptist. Okay, and that's what Jesus said. What drew you out here? What went you out into the wilderness to see? Did you go in the wilderness just to have a picnic? Okay, or, you know, as a playground or as an escape from the city? Of course, people did do that. Okay, but here, all these people, it was estimated that over 10,000 people were there at the time Jesus was made known, when the people heard the voice of thunder in the sky, which is the voice of the Lord, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And not only that, but also when they saw a flash of fire come down, okay, like a dove, and abode upon his head like a dove. Okay, there's about 10,000 people that were present there. So Jesus was saying, what went you out from the wilderness to see? What drew you here? But even though those 10,000 people were drawn there, not all of them were converted, but they all were exposed to this witness. And so it is today. Okay, many people, they're going to hear this. Okay, they're going to see things. They're going to witness certain things, but it doesn't mean they're going to be converted. Not until the sun turns to sackcloth and moon into blood. And then at that point, there'll be a total recall of what the second eighth week preached to them and the prophets of the second eighth week made known.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.